Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. We hope you enjoyed last week's episode, and if you didn't, well, that's your fault. No, thank you so much for tuning in. We're glad you tune in every week to listen to us, or when you can, when you got time, on your commute to work, and or when you are at work doing your job, quote-unquote. But no, thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't followed us on Instagram, please do so. Link will be in the description of this episode. But today, we are talking about the rule of Jenny Pen. Who rules, Eric? Dude, this was it was a good movie.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it is out right now on Shudder. Or on AMC. Yeah, AMC Plus. Of course, it comes with Shudder.
So it's on Prime.
Go Shudder. Check it out. Yeah. It has Jeffrey Rush and John Lithgow. And they have a great, amazing performance in this movie. Go check it out. And it might make you think twice about putting your parents in a home. Because it is wild.
Yeah, if you're over 30, don't watch this. Like, I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. And if you don't have AMC Plus or Shudder, it is available to rent, you know, Prime, Fandango at home. So go check it out before you listen to this episode. But if you don't care about that, and if you don't care about spoilers, we are going to get into The Rule of Jenny Pen, directed by James Ashcroft. And, yeah, dude, this movie, I've been wanting to see it just because it had Lithgow in it. I'm like, dude, he's got to have, like, a good performance. He's up there in age, but he's got to have, like, a
yeah, that's like, I mean, you see this performance in this movie, and then you, like, take it back, and you analyze the fact, like we were talking about before, the man is 80 years old.
Yeah.
And, like, and it's weird. It's like, in the movie, he's supposed to be, like, in this long care facility.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to basically be kind of like an invalid, but he's like the most active, most
youngest
acting person in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's like art imitating life because he's 80 years old. And I mean, he's dancing in this movie. He's running around.
Yeah. He's
doing kooky stuff. Like it's,
Yeah. It's a little summary of this movie. After a stroke leaves him partially disabled, Judge Stephen Montenson is confined to a rest home to recover and rehabilitate. However, an elderly psychopath who uses a puppet to abuse the home's elderly residents now has his eye on the judge, who must stop the crazed elder and end the abuse he is causing. And that doesn't even touch on what this movie shows, man. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, this judge, he is convicting this dude. I guess he abused these children.
Yeah, he's convicting a chomo.
Yeah.
He's like at the trial, and he, for some odd reason, I couldn't really understand this, the person in the audience is kind of springing him on, kind of like, yes, thank you. She's excessively thanking him.
Yeah.
And the judge is just getting adamant, and he's like, oh, no. And then finally, like, he kind of stops mid-proceeding.
Yeah, you can tell, like, something's going on mentally already.
Because he keeps, like, stumbling back over himself mentally, like, his words. Yeah. And he keeps repeating himself. And then, like I said, this young lady is, like, she's thanking him for getting ready to convict, like, this chomo. And out of nowhere, he kind of just, like, kind of starts to scold her.
Yeah.
Which I was like, why are you kind of scolding her? And then he's like, I don't need thanks and all.
He's pretty much, like, telling her, like, dude, it was you.
Yeah,
it was your responsibility to take care of your kids, and you
brought this, like, predator into your own house, kind of.
Yeah. So, and now, of course, you don't know the backstory of how that came to be. But I mean, from what the judge was telling her, it's like, dude, he was like a well-known, like, I guess he was well-known, Chomo, but I guess, you know, she still allowed him near the children or whatever.
Yeah. So, it wasn't like his first offense.
Which is funny, 'cause you start off with this judge convicting this, you know, predator, a child predator, and you take a completely different, like, switch once he, you know, he has the stroke, he's going off on this woman, he tries to take a drink of his water, and he collapses. And we see him again at a nursing home, pretty much, rehabilitating, you know, his right side, if I remember correctly, is paralyzed. And he goes out to have a smoke with this, or just pretty much just get out. He's trying to he goes out to the lawn. The guy in a wheelchair, like,
smoking. Because he wants to be, like, in a single room. He wants, like, he wants a room all to himself, and he's not really fond of the fact that he has a roommate.
Yeah, he's a judge, so he's like,
like, man, I'm a man of importance. I don't want to be, you know, in this room. And you can kind of tell, like, throughout the movie, it's all filmed in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So there's obviously, there's that, just like in America, there's racial tension.
Yeah.
And the Maori get the brunt of, like, the racial prejudice.
Yeah.
So the white New Zealanders are very, you know, they typecast, obviously, the Maori.
Yeah.
So on top of that, his, you know, his roommate is a Maori, like an old cricket player.
Yeah.
Or rugby. Rugby
player, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like I said, he wants to be on his own. He doesn't want to be in a room with someone else. Even, you know, even worse, it's like a high-profile Maori person. And he's like, ah, come on.
And what's crazy, too, I mean, I'm not defending, you know, his prejudice towards any of these people either, but I understand where he's coming from. You have somebody who's very, it brings you down a peg. So he's like this really well-known, well-educated judge. You know, he speaks very, you know, very fluent, you know, very eloquent. You know, he's very proper and very educated with his words. And then you got, oh, yeah, Mike, you know, and that's how I understand where he's coming from. But it's like, dude, like, hey, in here, you're just like the rest of anybody. Yeah. You're brought down to everybody's level. So you get no special treatment, nothing. Like, you are now just, you're just one of us now, you know. You may have been this, you know, really well-respected judge.
Out on the street, yeah.
Yeah. Now you're somebody who is bound to a chair right now, a motorized chair, which is another thing, too. He has a motorized chair. Yeah, everybody has a wheelchair.
He's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And so due to the fact that basically he's, you know, his want to be in his single room basically gets struck down by the management of the nursing home.
Yeah.
He decides he's going to just go outside, you know, air it out a little bit and, you know, be alone with his thoughts.
Yeah.
So he exits, you know, and one of the things you notice, he exits the building, goes outside, and there's a cat sitting inside at these big two-bay windows. And he goes outside and he sits down, and there's a guy out there, man, and he's just, he's hammered drunk.
Yeah, he's smoking and drinking.
He's smoking, drinking.
He's not supposed to have drink, but he has a flask, so he's sneaking it in.
And so, you know, the guy starts, you know, regaling him with his stories and offering him a smoke, offering the judge a smoke and, you know, telling him that, you know, that cat, you know, that one behind him, he needs to look out for, because wherever that cat goes, you know, kind of whoever that cat kind of cozies up to ends up dead.
Yeah.
So the judge is kind of like, oh, dude, like old vibes tells, you know, like old just like BS.
Yeah.
So whatever. So the judge hops up out of his wheelchair and is like, I'm going to go, you know, take this cigarette and go for a little walk down by, like, the little lake or whatever the hell it is. And old drunky McGinty in the freaking wheelchair, sitting in the back, still getting drunk, like, burst into flames.
Yeah, he drank his alcohol, and then he throws it up. He throws the alcohol up.
Yeah.
And he was smoking. So his cigarette pretty much lit him on fire because of all the alcohol that he had on him. And I'm like, dude. And yeah, so pretty much, and of course, the judge can't do anything. He can't move, you know, that much. He's standing up with his cane, but he can't really move.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to go pull the guy out of the chair and, like, throw him on the ground and put him out.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that guy passes.
And so probably for the best, though, when you find out what else is going on in this freaking nursing home. Honestly, like, I'd rather die in my own vomit covered in flames than...
You know, yeah, man, and they're very... And I understand they have to deal with elderly, and sometimes, you know, their mental state is not the best. I get that. But you're still there to do your job. In this place, you're better off staying at the freaking Hanoi Hilton.
Well, yeah, although it seems like, I mean, even though they don't really allude to it, it seems like the staff are all, like, completely in their own little world. They're just, like, you know, trying to hook up.
Pretty much,
and
yeah.
You get that feel. And then as you watch, like, the nighttime activities here at the nursing home,
yeah,
it's like you've got this random, like, there's, like, a wedding singer table nine of, like, little, of which, you know, John Lithgow's character, you know, basically Dave Creeley.
Yeah.
Where he hangs out with his, you know, they're not his crew. They're just basically, he got put at the odd kid table. And that's, yeah, like, where he's chilling.
Yeah. Well, he put himself there.
Well, he can put himself wherever he wants, yeah, because nobody really gives a crap what Dave Creeley's doing through this whole entire movie. And I don't know, like, later in the movie, you kind of find out that he's been there. He's been an employee there for years, decades upon decades. He has been there since, like, the 40s, yeah, or the 50s.
Yeah. So that first night when he's, like, sleeping, that's when the judge kind of hears something going on. Well, you know, Dave Creeley is in their room, and he is harassing the rugby player.
Who's
Tony.
Yeah. Tony Gunnar Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he is, like, with this doll on his hand, and he is, like, messing with him. And it's a creepy, like, you're like, oh, this is kind of weird.
It's like a Cupid head doll with no eyeballs.
Yeah. And he's, like, you know, he's, like, messing with him and putting the doll in his face. And he keeps, in this voice, he's, like, asking him, who rules, Tony? And he just, like, Jenny Pin. And then he just bends his hand over with the puppet doll hand.
Yeah, it looks like the puppet. I mean, okay, the puppet effects in this, like, they're not, it's not a convention, you know, like a typical conventional puppet.
No, it's a doll.
It's like a hand puppet.
Yeah.
And, like, some of the things he does, like, with the little hands, like, when he makes him crawl on, like, because.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, he's crawling on Tony.
It's like
with the little puppet, and it looks like Jenny Pen.
Well, okay, there's, like, a part where he's, like, where Dave is, like, thinking. He's like, And he closes the doll's hands like the doll is thinking as well. Like, the doll has its hand on its chin, you know, its arm crossed over, hand on the chin. Like, I'm like, dude, how is he doing this? Like, this is...
He had to have a lot of time, like, working with that puppet.
Yeah,
like,
because he makes the doll seem alive.
It seems alive, yeah. The crawling across the chest, that one had me, bro.
Yeah.
All day. Like,
dude, this dude is...
So he's sitting there, and, like, what he does with this puppet is basically, like, He flips it around, and then it almost looks like it's presenting its ass to your face.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, whoever it is, like, this is just his way of dominating people.
Yeah.
And he's like, lick it, lick it. And then, like, you know.
Yeah, or it was a lick her asshole.
Yeah, lick her asshole. Like, all graphic. And so
Sorry,
Tony's
any
like.
Children listening.
Yeah.
That's the
And
way
there's kids listening. You're going to be confused anyway. So, yeah, like, Tony sticks his tongue out, kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
That kid in A Christmas Story when he licks the light, you know, the pole and it freezes. Yeah, that's exactly how it is. And he, like, licks, like, slow licks, like the butt crack of, you know, Jenny Penn, the doll. And I'm just like, nah. Yeah.
Yeah, he tries to harass the judge, but the judge is like, okay, this dude is just, like, weird.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is just, but you got to realize he's a judge. He's been dealing with psychopaths. And all these, like, nutbags for a long time.
Yeah.
So he's just like, dude, it's just another, you know, random nutbag. But what he doesn't realize that, obviously, like, due to his physical condition, he's now pretty much, you know, at the mercy, as everyone else is, to, like, this madman's ramblings.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, he... But, of course, he still wants to stick up for himself.
Yeah.
So he's, like, mouthing off, you know, Dave, and he's like... Well, no, first he pulls off the cover of Tony, and he sticks Jenny Pinn is the puppet.
Oh, yeah. And he grabs the nuts, man.
Yeah, dude. He
dude, and he's always like, I felt bad for Tony, man.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's always getting, like, his nuts grabbed. And
he has a busted hip and a bad knee from the injury that he had in rugby. And so that's why he, like, grabs his hip first. And then he, like, grabs him by the crotch with the puppet.
Yeah.
And he's, like, abusing him pretty much, harassing him. And so, like, the, you know, judge is mouthing off to him, and it's, like, you know, trying to, like, telling him off. So finally Dave goes over to him, puts the pup in his face, and is asking him who rules. Just, like, I'm not, you know.
I'm not gonna, like, bow down to a freaking hand puppet.
Yeah. So he spits in the puppet's face.
Yeah.
And Dave spits in his face.
Three times.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, dude, this is... Yeah, this is gross. Like, this is going to be one of those movies where it's going to, you know, it's, yeah. So, he complains, and he's like, no, you know, you probably just saw stuff. Like, you did just have a stroke, and you probably are just seeing things. And he's like, no, like, I know what I saw, like, but he asked the, you know, his roommate.
Yeah, he asked Tony, hey, Tony, do you're going to vouch for this, right? Like, literally, remember what happened in our room last night? And Tony's like, oh, didn't really see nothing. And he's just like, what?
Yeah. And then that's when the judge starts to realize, like, oh, this guy does this to everyone. Like, he's starting to put, like, he's not an idiot. Like, he's starting to put pieces together. And he's like, oh, okay. He's like, he goes, now I know, like, there's something's going on with this guy. Like, he's just not a crazy dude. Like, he's doing something. So he's, like, pretty much just watching the judge. And the next night, he's in the room still, and was this the first night or the second night where he throws the piss on him?
Second night.
What was the second night?
Yeah,
he throws the, he pretty much gets the, you know, the
bedpan.
The bedpan and throws it on the judge, and then he leaves. And of course he's making a fuss, whatever, yelling at the staff, and they're like, no, like, you probably just...
You had an accident.
Yeah, you soiled yourself.
Yeah, like, you had a stroke. Like, you got to realize, like, you know, you're just, you know, pissing on yourself.
Yeah.
And the judge is just getting more furious because he's like, I know what happened. Like...
Yeah. But that's the thing is, like, Dave, what he'll do is he'll talk to the elderly, like, in his normal voice. But then when it comes to, like, the staff, he's like, oh, I'm just an old man who doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he needs help. And then switches it, like, really quick, especially with the judge, since the judge is more educated and still more somewhat sane.
Yeah, the judge sees behind the veil that, you know, that obviously Dave is, you know, hiding behind.
Yeah.
He can see, like, the true nature of, like, this creep.
Yeah.
Like,
and so Dave, the next day they're eating, Dave goes to confront him, and the judge flicks the pudding in his eye.
Yeah, he has pudding, so, well, remember... The judge doesn't get the pudding because, remember, they've basically gone through. And Dave's wandering around stealing everybody else's pudding.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
So then, like, he goes up and who doesn't get the pudding?
Yeah, somebody doesn't
remember,
get the
pudding. No, I do believe that, yes, Dave gets denied the pudding.
Yeah.
Dave doesn't get the pudding. So he walks past the judge, and the judge is there like Bill Cosby in that beast. He's like,
oh, yeah, that's right. You know, yeah.
This is good. And then, like, he's kind of like, oh, kind of like, you didn't get any, bitch? And he's like, huh? And then Dave, like, looks at him because, like, anything sets Dave off.
Yeah.
And so he, like, literally, like, throws pudding in Dave's face, and, like, the choco pudding just splatters all over his face.
Yeah. And so he goes and wanders off. The staff finds him and is like, you know.
Now the judge is going to get reprimanded for, you know, physically. Well, yeah, it's physical assault.
Yeah.
So.
But he gets taken to his room by the nurses because, you know, that's assault. And he's like, oh, the pudding. He goes, that was just, you know, I'm still trying to regain strength in my arm.
Yeah, I had a nervous, it was a twitch or something, he says.
And they're like, well, you know, we've been getting complaints that you've been stealing other people's belongings. And he goes, what? And he goes, I haven't, you know. Done it. He can't even go into a room. Like he's
wheelchair bound. Yeah,
he's chair bound. Yeah, and they're like, okay, so it'd be no problem if we search your, you know, your room and be, you know, okay. He goes, yeah, do it. They're like, okay, and then they search it and they're like, oh, well, you know, I guess we were wrong. We're sorry to accuse you, but the nurse finds, like, oh my gosh. So the night before,
Dave's little adventures, because while everyone else is locked up in their room, for some odd reason, there's two people that have, like, carte blanche freedom in this place.
Yeah.
There's an elderly lady who hangs up Christmas ornaments everywhere because supposedly her family wanted to go somewhere for the holiday, she decided that not to be a burden, she was going to go to the home. This is her story.
Yeah.
She decided that she was going to go to the, you know, the nursing home.
Yeah. So they would have to worry about her. Yeah.
But when they come back for holiday on Christmas, they're going to come and they're going to pick her back up and take her back to the house. Yeah. Well, obviously, we know what we're talking about. This is not the reality of the situation.
They left
her. Her kids dropped her off and left her there.
Yeah.
So she, out in the middle of the night, is just out putting up Christmas ornaments place. And Dave's wandering around. I mean, this dude's everywhere. He's like,
yeah, he's everywhere. Yeah. And
like,
he's,
you know, he's making sandwiches, doing laundry, all kinds of stuff. You're like, what is this? Yeah. And going down to the front desk. Through the elevator, and they're like, oh, hey, go ahead and go back up to your room. And he's like, ar-ta-ta. And so he acts like he's going back upstairs, and he holds the elevator door open, then walks right back out the elevator and walks down the hall.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and so he goes into this lady's room. He steals her.
Panties.
Her panties and her dentures.
Yeah, her panties and her dentures, and don't remember the little cookie.
Oh, yeah, the
little cookie. Yeah, he eats the little cookie. But, yeah, he's got plans for these panties and these dentures.
And so when they were searching the judge's room, they found the panties and the dentures.
But it's like a collage. It's not like...
It's like soaked in this...
It looked almost like it was like duct taped or something. They're like, there were panty particulates on there. Because they were like these weird, like kind of flourished panties.
And then they were like, I don't know what was on them. I don't want to know what was on them. But it grossed out the nurse.
Jenny Penn.
Yeah. And so he was like... You know, they have to punish him. He's like, no, that wasn't me. That was him. Like, he put those there.
Yeah, we've told you he's been coming in the room.
Yeah. So the next night, you know, he goes back to harass the judge again. And, you know, the judge is trying to, if they have an emergency button, which I've seen in most retirement homes and stuff like that, that you press when there's a problem, you know, so he's like, pressing the button while he's, you know.
Yeah, because he, while
Tony's getting harassed.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Tony's like.
And he's telling the judge, he goes, who rules, judge? And of course, judge, you know, he's not going to say anything. He's not going to cater to. He goes, I'm not going to answer to a puppet. And so, unfortunately, Tony, you know, in his older ages, he, you know, has a.
Catheter.
A catheter. Unfortunately, and so what does he grab? He grabs the catheter that Tony has.
Dude, every tug was just...
Dude, it was hurting me, and I'm like, oh, dude, please. Because
he doesn't do it just once or twice. He literally just keeps going there and jerking. And I don't know whether they taped it to his inner thigh or what they did, but it was acted pretty well. I mean, it looked like it was really tugging on his nugs. You know?
Yeah, there's like, I don't know how it is, like... From what I've seen with my, you know, grandparents being in homes like that, I think it's like, I know it's like taped closer to your thigh and all that. Yeah. So there is no tugging. Obviously, you don't want any tugging going on. But, dude, Dave is like wrapping it around his like arm, pulling it more and more.
Yeah, he's taking up the slack.
He doesn't rip it out. He just like continuously like pulls it because he wants the judge to say it. Finally, the judge is like, dude, I'm not going to answer to that puppet. Like, that's not what I'm doing. So he starts mouthing off to Dave. Finally, Dave, luckily, lets him go and doesn't rip it out. But the judge is like hitting the button. And finally, he's like, you know, he leaves. Dave leaves. But then the judge sees that the button was never plugged in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, how is he like one step ahead of this guy? So the judge is like, okay. He goes, I'm going to start, you know, if you're going to get me in trouble and frame me for stuff, I am going to play your at your level. And so one, you see that Dave goes out and he has, you know, a key to everything. For some reason, you don't know how he gets it.
But he stole it from the staff.
Yeah.
He has a staff key. So.
Yeah.
Probably and stole it from one of those dumb asses downstairs trying to talk, you know. Trying to make time with everybody else.
Yeah, so he goes out, and he goes out into the yard, and you're like, man, what's this dude doing? Well, he has his own, like, little shed out there. It's a staff shed or like where they keep all the supplies, like, you know, guarding stuff and whatever. And he's just hanging out there with Jenny Penn, the little doll, smoking, and just like...
And he's got, like, a little backdrop, which is, like, really cool. It's like a little Bahama scene. Kind
yeah.
of. He's just sitting there, like, hanging out.
And you're like, oh, this dude is not, like... Psycho, he knows what he's doing. Like, he knows exactly how he's playing this. And finally, the judge, like, sees, you know, as he's, like, going through the hallway, there's the other, like we had already said before, there's, like, pictures of the staff members of each year since it was, I guess, the inception of this, you know, home. And he notices that in every single one, Dave is in. Like, he is the staff member. And it, and you think, like, oh, man, like, he was once worked there. No, he has been there most likely since, it, like, his first job, honestly. Because that's what it looks like, because it goes back, like, decades. And he's like, oh, this guy has only been here and is now just a quote-unquote resident here. But, you know, he put himself there is what it looks like. He's the one who's, you know, who's paying for his, you know, stay there, which is kind of weird. But so the next day, they're giving Dave a bath because he still has to act like a old man. He still has to act like a senile old man that doesn't know what he's doing, that, you know, he still needs help from the nurse to get, you know, showered and all that. And while he's in the shower, the judge goes into his room. Now, what's crazy is he is the only one. Dave is the only one who has a single occupancy room. Yeah, everybody else is double occupancy from what the nurses have said and the head nurse has said. Everybody gets double. Everybody has two people in their room, except for Dave. Dave is the only one who gets a single room.
And there's nothing personal about Dave's room.
Yeah.
Dave's room is just like a blank canvas. It's,
yeah,
it's like a military-made bed. The judge starts going and ransacking his drawers.
And everything is folded properly.
Yeah, he's got like four shirts, four pairs of pants, four pairs of underwear, four pairs of socks.
And they're all rolled.
Yeah, they're all perfect.
Like military style. Yeah. Like they are all like in their spot where they're supposed to be. So he had stolen a nurse's wallet. The judge did. And he's like, well, I'm going to frame. Well, you think. You're like, oh, he's going to frame Dave. Like, dude, Dave, you're going to get at me with your stupid doll. I'm going to get you back. So he sticks the
wallet. I thought, okay, so when he opens the top drawer on the little two-drawer piece, Jenny Penn is still in there, because obviously he can't take Jenny Penn in the shower with him.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to, like, mess up Jenny Penn.
That's what I thought, too.
Because, honestly, I thought he was just going to, like throw that little bitch underneath the wheelchair, roll over her ass a few times, take care of business. But no, lo and behold, like, the judge is far more, like, logical and calculated.
Yeah, he knows how Dave thinks. Like, he's already in his head. Or he thinks, at least, he's in his head. So he goes through and he does what he needs to do to frame Dave. So they're out there, you know, they're watching TV. And, you know, Dave gets done with the shower, goes into his room, and he feels something is off. He's like, something doesn't feel right here. And there's, like, a little potted plant on his nightstand. There was, like, some soil that had been moved. And so he notices, like, oh man, this guy, like, knows, like, it's not gonna work, like, he's not gonna be able to frame him. So Dave goes in there into the rec room.
Well, and one thing we do have to cut to before that happens is, remember the night before, after he left the judge's room, due to the fact that he was so pissed off, he goes out, and in obviously the foyer he finds the Christmas lady.
That's right. He finds I forgot about this.
So the Christmas lady is out there, and he's like, hey, is that your family out there? Because Dave's a dick. And Dave's like, is that your family out there? And the old lady is like, what? Where? Are they out
she's
there?
She's confused.
In the darkness.
Like,
yeah, she's completely, like, senile. And he's like, oh, is that? Oh, come on. I'll help you, you know. I'll help you go find them.
Yeah.
And so he goes out, and he essentially walks her out into the outer grounds, and he's kind of helping her hide from the security and stuff and get past, you know, the
and
talking.
And he's using the puppet to talk to
her. Yeah, and she's listening to anything, you know, anything the puppet has to say.
Yeah.
So, obviously, she's shorter in stature. So, Dave goes through, and he opens up the side gate because the latch is way up on top.
Yeah, the gate leads out pretty much to the wilderness.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, it's
so, you know, Dave, being a dick, is like, oh, yeah, no, they're right there. Go on out. And he opens up the gate. Get on out there. There's your family. So she wanders off, and Dave's like, oh, man. I came up. He closes the gate, goes back on his merry way, you know, doing dickish things with Jenny Penn.
Before that, when they're inside, and he's like, oh, your family's out there, he, like, pulls out his key card, and he's like, well, you know, I can let you out. So she grabs it, and then he, like, follows her out, and that's when he helps her and all that. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, go.
Put in context, because he gives her – she takes the card from him, and then so she's going to wander out, and then he goes into her pocket and pulls out the card again, and then she – wanders off and into the wilderness.
Yeah, and he's out there just thinking he got away with the crime of the century. Yeah. So he takes his little happy butt back up. And so he goes back upstairs and he goes to go to his room.
Yeah.
And he goes go into his room and he scans his key card and it doesn't let him in the room. So he scans it again.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the hell? Because now it's just flashing red. So he looks down at his key card and lo and behold, it's got all these like little like star stickers and rainbows and crap.
And it's her key card.
And it's her key card to her room. So now he realizes, oh crap, first of all, I just sent her off to her death. But second of all, like I've got her key card. She's got my key card. Like this ties me into being the schmuck that I really am.
Yeah.
So he obviously goes out and he goes out into the night, goes out
into
the woods.
It's already morning.
Like, yeah, it's dawn.
The light's starting to break. Like,
and he finds her dead in a, like, essentially in, like, just a still water pool.
Yeah, small little puddle of water, but of course, you know.
But it's so cold.
Yeah.
Like, it's late October.
Yeah.
And so it's cold where they are. And so he's going through, and he is looking for his card. So he's rolling her body around in the water looking for her card. Well, his card on her body, and he finds the card.
Yeah.
But by that time, it's so cold and everything that basically he's become hypothermic.
Yeah.
And he's having problems breathing.
Yeah. He has asthma.
Yeah.
He's asthmatic.
So he reaches down into his pocket and he grabs a rapid inhaler.
Yeah.
And so that takes us back to where we are with the judge. So the judge is basically now, the judge has ransacked the room. He thinks, oh, you know, I've got some, like, dirt on, you know, Dave.
Yeah.
Well, Dave is now pissed and furious.
Like, you try to pull one up on me, you're not going to. I'm smarter than ever. Pretty much, like, Dave gets off, yes, by overpowering people. He's pretty much the dictator of the nursing home. And so he goes in there, closes the doors to the rec room. Again, where is the staff, dude? Like, all these incidents that happen, you're like, oh man, like this dude must have one over on the nursing staff. No, they're just incompetent. They're not doing their job.
Yeah, they're not even there. Like half the time, these old people are just all alone, like doing things.
Yeah, and these nurses are like flirting with each other. Like, you know, they're out smoking or whatever, or they're just not paying attention to anybody. So he closes the doors and puts on the song, which I'm assuming is the song of Jenny Penn. And it's like a little, like, I don't know how you, like, just like a little song, pretty much.
Like, yeah, they're like a little old-timey, like, creepy songs.
Yeah.
Like.
So Dave starts dancing to it. Now, mind you, John Lithgow, being up there in age,
80 years old, doing that dance, that's, you know, that's commendable.
He is, like, doing this dance, and he's, like, kicking and everything. Because he's, one, I think it's two things. One, he's showing the judge, like, dude, you are wheelchair-bound. You can't out-strength me. But he's also showing his dexterity and showing him, like, hey, I'm sane. Like, look how I'm dancing. Like, I'm the only, like, sane person in this place. Like,
yeah.
You got Christmas Lady's gone already. And you have people who, you know, can't see.
Well, yeah, and because through before this in the film, you start to see that, you know, the judge is starting to have more episodes.
Yeah, he's
starting. So the judge is starting to deteriorate.
Yeah, he's having more blips in his memory,
and Dave is letting him know it and exploiting the fact that he's having more of these incidents.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he starts dancing and doing all this stuff. Well, lo and behold, you know, you overexert yourself. You have asthma.
Yeah.
Your lungs start
he throws the wallet at the judge. He's like, dude, look, I found what you were trying to pin against
me. Yeah, I found the nurse's wallet.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, him doing all this stuff, he starts to have an asthma attack. And he's like, oh, well, I got to get my inhaler. So he pulls it out of his pants, and it doesn't have anything in it. And so now he has to run to his room, all of his inhalers.
Once again, he's crawling down the out of, like, the rec room, and he's crawling down the damn hall towards his room.
And nobody.
No, the nurses and the staff is like, MIA.
Yeah, they're not like, oh, Dave, you need help. No, they're, like,
yeah,
off gossiping or something. Like, if you worked in a nursing home, like, and you were somebody who actually cares about this job, anybody who works in a nursing home or, you know, an old folks home, you would be pissed watching this movie. You're like, dude, who are these? Who is this staff? Like,
dude, I was pissing myself. I'm like, dude, I'm like getting up there in age, you know? And I'm like, shit, maybe next 25 years, I might need to go to a nursing home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I ain't going to this place. Dude, making me lick puppet butts and stuff. No way.
Yeah, so Dave runs to his room.
And he's got all these organized, like how organized he was. He's got like 6 organized, you know, inhalers.
Yeah, but they're all out of juice.
Everyone just pure
and it cuts to what the judge was actually doing. It flashes back to he actually let out all of the, obviously, if you didn't, you know, he took out all the stuff in
the
all
steroid,
the,
yeah,
and all the inhalers. He let it all out, and so that's how he got Dave. And they think, man, like, finally, you know.
Well, everything, they don't even like really say anything. They don't say anything about what happened to Dave. And
no,
it just seems like peace falls on the valley, like everybody's just calm. Yeah.
And what's crazy is there's a lady there who, she can't speak, like she tries to, but she only can get like out little sounds, and usually they're like nervous ticks, you could kind of tell. But when Dave is like gone, she's quiet. She's like smiling at the judge, like, hey, thank you for getting rid of this monster, like, finally, like, you know, it's over, like, or
the it's like peace falls over everything. Everybody's playing games, everybody's getting along, all this stuff is like going really well.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple who's in love. You can tell, like, they're a couple who's probably been together since they were, like, you know, freaking 16 years old.
Yeah.
And they're just in love, and everybody knows and they respect their love, and they're just sitting together because they're both wheelchair bound, and the man just, you know, he adores his wife.
Yeah.
And so everybody just, it's like there's peace in the valley. Like, ding dong, the witch is dead kind of thing.
Yeah. But there's always calm before the storm.
Absolutely.
And of course, that's not the end of the movie, because then we would only have like a 30-minute episode. No, unfortunately, you know, they're watching TV. Everything's going great. You know, the couple, there's a blind man who's in a wheelchair who has like a time button. Like, he hits it and it tells him the time. I guess just to keep, you know, his mind like
active,
yeah. And you know, his wife is taking care of him, but who comes out of nowhere but Dave. He's not dead yet. He comes out. What does he do? He grabs the judge and he wheels him all the way around. I forgot, the judge is having like an episode. He's having like a blip in his memory again.
Yeah, and he grabs the judge and starts navigating him.
Yeah,
and then pushes him into.
Yeah, because they're watching TV, and the judge falls asleep.
They're watching the moray eels.
Yeah, the moray eels. And he's watching the TV. He falls asleep, wakes up, nobody's there. Everybody went to their rooms.
That's what you're saying. Dave's there.
Yeah. So he went to go and he was gonna go and go outside or go do something. He was pretty much wheeling himself down to the. Through the hallway, and he has like a blip, and then he just sees himself going down the hallway. When he looks up, he's like, oh, nurse, like, I don't need help, like, I can get there. He looks up and it's Dave, and Dave was like, yeah, I'm not gone. I'm not dead yet. Goes and he rams him into the rec room, throws him off of his chair, gets the blind guy and shoves him into a table pretty much where he can't move, and takes his wife and pretty much like sexually assaults her.
Yeah, he SAs her.
Yeah. And so the blind guy's like, what's going on? Like, because he obviously can't see, but he can hear that.
He can hear his wife. Yeah.
He can hear somebody's messing with his wife. And so finally, like, this dude is like, no, like, fine. I'm going to make sure that everybody feels my wrath. Like, yeah. So Judge musters up the strength to get up and hits Dave with his cane. But unfortunately, in the process, Judge, I guess he has another stroke.
I would think so, because he definitely loses a lot of movement on his right side.
Because you can see him, there's like scenes where he's rehabilitating, trying to grab a glass. You know, he still has some like kind of movement, but he has to like regain it. And now he's just like completely like paralyzed on his right side. And so like when he comes back, They put him in the eating in the cafeteria again. And Tony, his roommate, finally goes up to him and sits with him and is like, hey, you know, you're pretty brave for, you know, standing up to this guy. And one, doing that inhaler thing, but then hitting him with your cane, like, that's pretty brave.
And Dave's over stealing soup because for some reason, dude, Dave is like he is the embodiment of the dick move. He just like seriously like there's like old people sitting around him and he's like they'll be like, you can have all the pumpkin soup you want.
Yeah.
Like the staff tells him, you can have all the pumpkin soup you want, Dave. And then Dave's like, oh no, screw it. I'm gonna take hers. And so he just like boops and like steals the old lady next to him like every time her freaking soup. Yeah. And then like the staff will be like, oh no, don't do that. And then he like will look at the empty bowl and then he'll like put it under his bowl. Yeah, asshat.
Well, what's crazy is if at the beginning of when you first get introduced to Dave, he's stealing, you know, the soup still. And mind you, they don't do anything. Like the people are just like, oh, well, I guess I don't have soup today. But then now that the judge has done something, the lady actually took back her soup.
Yeah.
She's like little things like that. Like she's like, no, like this is my suit.
The rebellion has begun.
Yeah, but then Dave gets pissed off and he grabs it and puts it onto his empty one. It's like, no.
He puts the empty bowl under the full bowl, and then he's just like, now I'm gonna eat them. Yeah, like done.
So you can see like, okay, it's giving like some of these residents like they're okay. Like if the judge can do it, maybe we can too. But Tony, he feels, you know, like he goes, you're right. He goes out because the judge like calls him a coward. And, like, craps on his rugby career. And, you know, because, you know, when Tony didn't stand up for him, like, the judge is like, dude, you could have told me something, and maybe you would have stopped getting assaulted by Jenny Penn. And, yeah, he's like, finally, though, but they're kind of, like, coming together, you know, now that the judge is kind of, like, half-stroked. And
yeah, because now I think Tony realizes, like, hey, you know, I'm going to stand up. Like, he's been the fist for all of us. So I'm going to go through, and I'm going to muster up everything that I have, and I'm going to be the fist.
Yeah. And so he stands up in front of Dave and does, like, the
Maori war chant deal.
Pretty much, yeah, like they do, you know, before every rugby match, every soccer match that they do. Of course, he's old, so he can't complete the whole chant. Yeah.
Plus his hip is, I mean, his hip shot, his knee shot.
Especially with freaking Dave, like.
Dave's been pulling on his wiener for, like, you know.
But, yeah, he does it. He's showing that he has
He's courage. Exerting his male dominance. Yeah.
And so, finally, they have, like, a little, like, symphony, I guess you could say. Like, a little, you know, like, six-piece string band come in, and they're playing, you know, different classical music and all that. And Dave is just eyeballing, like, just staring down at Tony.
Tony.
And he's just, like, looking at him, like, man, this dude just does not quit. Like, Tony showed a little bit of, like, you know, resistance, and now he's like, no, dude, I'm going to make sure you – that's his thing, is, like, if you – even if you exert, like, a little bit of force, like, he's going to make sure that you –
he's got to step on your neck. He's got to put you back in your place because that's how he – you know, runs that institution. So.
And he's like, no. He goes – you know, he's staring at – but now Tony, with a little bit of – right, he's like, okay, he stares back at him, but then you could tell because before when Dave would, Tony had this interview in the movie with a rugby team, and the coach is like, respects Tony, and he wants to, you know, he wants him to give a speech to his
young players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To his players and all this and that. And then like, while he's like trying to give a speech, freaking dude, he's like, Dave is staring
Dave
at
Dave is just mad dog, and he's
in
like
another
room
across like the facility.
Well, that's the whole thing, even with the judge. Remember when in the scene when the judge is outside, Dave is upstairs looking out the window.
Yeah.
That's what Dave does. He stands afar and just sits there and looks at you and like gets in your head.
Yeah.
And so now we're starting to see, like you said, we're starting to see the resistance is building.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Tony's got the little, he doesn't do like a full on like mad dog. He doesn't like let the, like,
no,
sit there
he's
and look.
Like,
but
yeah.
You could tell he's looking up.
Yeah, because before he would go and hide and the judge found him and he's like, why are you hiding in here? He goes, oh, well, the staff members don't come in here.
Yeah, because they have a secondary laundry room and that's Tony's hiding spot.
Yeah. So now Dave knows that's his hiding spot. So now he's like, well, like you're going down, dude. Like, I know where you hide now because the judge gave it away. So I'm gonna go to your hiding spot and finish you off, pretty much. He was pretty much gonna kill
Tony.
Tony, yeah. So he goes, and you're like, man, like, this is it. This is, you know, he's going to get power. But when he walks into the laundry room, you see the judge's wheelchair when he passes by, but he doesn't notice it. Dave doesn't notice it. So he opens the door where Tony's at, and Dave's about to lay into him, and that's when the judge grabs him. I don't know how the judge did it, dude, like, to muster up that strength. But he grabs him, and Tony grabs him from behind.
Yeah, Tony grabs him, and then, yeah.
And they kind of made this makeshift little suffocation area.
Yeah.
Made out of towels and pillows.
They were probably watching American Me back in the background. They saw the rice scene, and they're like, dude, I got you. Don't even worry about it.
So the judge holds his upper body, his head down, pretty much just puts his weight on him, and Tony grabs his leg.
And lifts his legs up, so he's, you know, he's at an angle to where he can't get his, he basically can't get a position. He can't, you know, rest himself on anything except for.
And what's weird is that his right hand with Jenny is still free.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's like the doll is like trying to fight the judge to get him off him. Like he's, I mean, you can tell obviously it's a reaction. He's like trying to hit the judge, you know, punch him. But it's still, it looks like the doll's like, hey, get off of him. Like,
yeah.
And it's so weird like how he uses this doll to be like a second like person, like an extension of himself to harass these residents. So finally, you know, he's trying to get his inhaler. He can't get to it. And so the judge just starts piling towels on his face. And a good struggle.
Yeah.
And he's finally, it pans out. And
there's no movement.
Yeah, no movement.
Yeah.
Dave's wet himself.
Yeah, Dave's not coming back from this one.
Yeah, he's finally dead. And Tony is like, you know, do you, you know, this is how you feel? Like, this, you like how that feels? To feel helpless?
Yeah, because what is... When Dave assaults Tony, he always... It's like, how do you feel, uncle? Like, it's something along those terms.
Yeah.
And so he basically uses Dave's words on him.
Yes, yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, Dave would always use this, like, little quip or something to Tony when he would assault him.
Yeah.
And now that Tony is now pretty much killing this dude, it's like, dude, no. He asked him the same question.
Yeah, he got all of his power back from that one statement. So yeah. He throws that out there basically as Dave dies. And,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because there's like this touching moment between him and the judge where the judge finally realizes, you know, hey, all of my life, you know, I've thought I've wanted kids and all that. And now I'm just the judge who, you know, thought so high of himself. And, you know, now I've been brought down a peg. And now he sees that, you know, there's more to life than just standing on a podium and being pretty much like a god, kind of. And Tony says the same thing. He's like, yeah, he goes, you know, he talks about the, I forgot what, like, was a politician or something like that, or a great, I think it was like a politician he was talking about, that saying that, you know, he was great. He did all these things for these people. He did so many great things, but, you know, he got into some bad stuff and, you know, they found him. And if you're a kid, you know, skip forward, but they said that they found him dead in a river with a dildo up his ass.
18-inch dildo.
Yeah, 18, up his ass. That's what he says, 18-inch dildo up his ass. And he's like, you know, nobody remembers the great things he did.
They just remember the dildo.
Yeah, they just remember the dildo. So he doesn't want to be remembered like that. And the judge is like, well, dude, if not, you're going to be remembered as the dude who was punked by Dave, pretty much. Like, he assaulted you. He, you know, emasculated you, pretty much.
Yeah, and, you know, Tony has grandkids.
Yeah, Tony has grandkids.
So Tony has grandkids, and his main concern, like, he emphasizes it through the film, is that he doesn't want his youngest granddaughter feeling pity for him.
Yeah, like, there's a way that she looks at him, and he doesn't want that to go away. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know.
She holds him in a high esteem, so, yeah, he wants to retain that. And obviously, Dave.
Yeah. But now him being dead, and Tony kind of helping.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pretty much extinguishing his flame, you know, he felt like he got some of his honor back. And the judge kind of reassures him, like, hey, man, like, you know, kind of like a light touch to his face. And it's like, hey, you know, you did good. Yeah. Like, you are not a coward. Like,
yeah,
I said,
no one's going to remember that this dude was grabbing on your nutsack and, like, pulling except on for your gather. Like, hey, I saw things, man, but I ain't talking, bro. Like,
yeah.
It's just, yeah.
But, yeah, and then that was the end of.
Well, there's peace in the valley.
Yeah.
So, and now you're like, where the hell, what's going to, you know, now that Dave, you know, the Doom Maker, now that he's dead, what's going to happen to Jenny Penn? And so the maintenance crew out there, they have like a little brick. It's like an enclosure, yeah. Like a fire pit where they burn all the leaves and stuff. So, you know, the judge decides he's going to take Jenny Penn out there. And the ending scene is him like roasting the shit out of that evil little puppet beast. Yeah. You know, casting it back into exile. Where it came
pretty
from.
Much back to hell.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and it's so crazy because in the movie, not only do you have the conflict with Dave, but you have the judge deteriorating mentally. You see he's trapped in his own mind, too, with these little blips that he has and little, you know, kind of things that go on with him because of the stroke, you know, his mind deteriorating. It's like, man, you're locked in a hell within a hell, pretty much. Like, not only is your mind, you know, messing with you, because he starts seeing, like, Jenny Penn, you know, in these little blips that he has, these little, like, memory losses.
And that chick's gigantic. Like, in these visions, she's not like a little hand puppet.
Yeah.
She is, like, this big impending force. And Jenny Penn has no eyes.
Yeah.
Like, Jenny Penn has, like, just empty eye sockets.
Yeah.
And the only resonance that you get is, like, basically the light illuminates, and they almost glow red.
Yeah.
So that was another creepy thing. But what I got out of it, like, I don't know, maybe I was just reading too deep into it. But the judge for all these years, it's like prison, and he goes down and has the stroke at the moment when he's sentencing someone to prison. He becomes a prisoner of his own body. He becomes a prisoner of the institution. He becomes a prisoner himself.
Yeah.
Through exerting his power, he becomes a prisoner subservient to someone else's power.
Yeah.
Which is Dave, the creepy stalking butler, you know, puppet man.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's a really good movie. Like, again, the performances by both actors, man, it's great. Like, if you don't know who Jeffrey Rush is, he played the pirate in Black Pearl.
Yeah.
In Pirates of the Caribbean. And dude, yeah, it's just their performances, they complement each other very well, going against each other. It's like, dude, this is great. And then the way they made Dave look, the way they transformed John Lithgow, they just
his eyes. They look almost like they're almost like they're blind or translucent.
Yeah, they're like hyper blue eyes, almost white is what it looks like, but they're very hyper blue. And his teeth are kind of like jacked up a little bit. But he, I mean, dude, he just has this, like, you think he's just like a dirty, like, old man, but then he has a smartness to him that, you know.
Well, the cool part about it was, like, if you're familiar with John Lithgow's work, I mean, most people remember him from Third Rock.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, he was the zany captain and not, you know, that whole scenario. But back in the late 80s, he made a movie called Raising Kane.
Yeah.
Where he had that split dual personality. So he's had, like, his little jaunt in, you know, the mental illness realm. So, you know, having touched base, and I didn't rewatch the whole movie, but I did, like, watch little snippets and stuff.
Yeah.
And you can watch, and you can kind of see, like, a comparative chart to where his performance in, you know, Raising Kane is sort of coming to fruition in Jenny Penn.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. I really liked that aspect to it.
Yeah. But yeah, man, yeah, this one, there's so much great stuff into it. And then kind of one of the quotes that he says at the beginning when he's judging, when he's going, you know, off on the mom pretty much, like for allowing a predator to come near her children, you know, he pretty much says, like, you know, when the lions are away, the hyenas will roam, like.
Yeah.
And it's so weird because where he's at, the nursing home, is true because when the nurses aren't there, he's the one, like, picking
Dave,
at these.
Yeah, Dave's just running around, but anybody can be a hyena.
Yeah.
And the judge shows you that, is that, like, you know, it's not just specific to one person being the hyena.
Yeah.
But then it's also, like, the strange part about it was, there was, like, a whole bunch of sayings throughout the movie. Like, what was the other one? Remember, they look at the cat poster, and it wasn't, like, hang in there. It was...
Oh, my gosh. It was... getting older... Like, doesn't, like, something about playing, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's like, you don't forget to play because you get old or something like that. Or
you get old because you forget to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is pretty much when the judge is, like, almost at a vegetative state, like, pretty much. Like, he's almost fully paralyzed. But he's talking to him, you know, in the corner of the room. He's, like, talking to him, and he talks about the poster. And he's like, how crazy is that, you know? in a world full of like old folks that can't move anymore, I'm the most alive one here. And I'm like, dude, this dude is like creepy, man. Yeah. Like, this dude is like really smart in his own way, you know, because the judge kind of shows like how educated he is with, you know, he's like, I believe he was quoting like, you know, Nathaniel Hawthorne. He was quoting all these, you know, all this.
He's
literature.
Very well book read.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's book smart.
Yeah.
But then yeah. Dave is like street smart because Dave is like just psychopathic in his thought process.
Yeah.
So
he has like his own pretty much like, you know, the judge quotes these like very, you know, philosophical quotes, you know, from these great, you know, literary artists or whatever, you know, all these authors and stuff like that. But then Dave has like his own like philosophy.
Yeah.
That he has. And it's like, ah, dude. And they kind of counteract each other. Like they kind of, you know.
Or remember even Tony, like in the end, kind of gets sick, like before, like or towards the end of the movie. Tony's like, oh, you just sit around like, you know, quoting like these books of like great scholars that you've read.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, you know, but Tony's like, I think that's kind of Tony, like kind of throwing one at the judge. Like, yeah, you have this, but like, you don't really have like you might look at me down because like I played rugby or whatever, but like I've got the skill to go and play rugby and like, you know, basically be physical and handle business.
Yeah.
Like I'm street smart. Like I know how to get by on the street. You read a book. I lived a life.
And, yeah, pretty you know, much, yeah.
And that's, you know, that's how Dave runs the place. Is Dave is, you know, the cock of the walk through the whole movie mostly and just does whatever the evil little hyena bastard does.
Yeah, but yeah, it was.
What I really wanted to see, though, like, because there's a short reference in it, if you remember, when the judge starts to lose his faculties, I forget which scene it is, but one of the nurse practitioners is talking to him about getting him a puppet.
Yeah, they're, yeah.
And they're talking about, like, basically getting him, like, dude, I was, like, waiting for that. I'm like, come on, man. I want to see, like, a puppet war.
Yeah, like a puppet battle,
cause,
yeah.
Just because I'm that sick and twisted puppy that wants a puppet war.
Yeah. Well, like, what I was thinking is that because of his mental state, the way it was going, is that Dave was going to be pretty much, like, imprinting on him so much is that at the end, when Dave does die, the judge just ends up
fills a void.
Yeah, pretty much just become, but it doesn't become that. But that would have been a good like twist at the end, like, oh, now the judge, you know,
still think puppet war would be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, because the puppet thing is for him to regain hand control.
Yeah, the hand control.
Yeah,
and you remember the, just like how, you know, he was remembering the three words.
Yeah,
you know, the three words and certain colors and certain shapes and stuff like that. That's, you know, the puppet, the constant thinking, you know, on that side of your brain where you're making the puppet's arms move and its head moves and it's doing the reactions.
Yeah.
Your mind's constantly working. So.
And maybe that's why Dave has the puppet too. Like, hey man, even though I'm asleep, like Jenny's awake too. Like, so yeah, it's a very good, it's a must watch. I think it's like one of those that makes you think and makes you just kind of like, man, do I want to put my parents in a nursing home?
It was one of the most disturbing movies. The last movie that I can remember seeing that kind of like psychologically disturbed me that much was, I can't remember what year it was. It was pretty recent though. But Matt Dillon played The House That Jack Built. That's also available on Shudder. Mm-hmm. So I think it's on Prime. But it basically is a serial killer, and much like the literary sense of Jenny Penn going through and being all this, you know, this is actually like Dante's Inferno. And yeah, House That Jack Built is Dante's Inferno. And it all goes, you know, around that. And it's him visiting different levels, but it's in like modern context. And he's obviously a serial killer. And there's all this like crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the last one, because that's the last character I can remember like psychologically disturbing me as much as Jack disturbed me in this movie.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, I've got to give like absolute credit to John Lithgow, man. Man's 80 years old.
Yeah, and he's,
you know,
yeah.
Matt Dillon was like, what, 55 when he did The House That Jack Built?
Yeah.
Here we got an 80-year-old man doing like the same crazy. Dude, I'm for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a must watch. My favorite scene, though, is there, you know, you're kind of seeing how much of an ass that Dave is. So he goes in, they're dancing, you know, they have like a little, you know, doing like a little dance hall thing. Like they're, you know, all dancing and listening to classical music. And Dave just goes in there and just starts, like, stepping on people's feet, like, starts pushing it and all that. And I'm like, oh, he's opened up the pit.
Wall of death. Cannibal Corpse kicks on.
That's what I told my girl. Like, oh, yeah. I was like, he just opened up the pit. He's about to, you know.
But he was no respecter, man. He was, like, no. Dude, he was stepping on everybody's feet. And he'd be, like, dancing with you. And, like, these ladies, dude, this is how suave he was.
Yeah.
Like, the ladies be like, oh, my God, he's dancing with me. Oh, he cares about me.
And he just, like, pushes them.
Bam! Off with your toes.
Yeah.
Like, just stomp you.
Yeah, he's just, like, pushing people. And dude, he's tall, man. He's really, really tall. I didn't know how tall he was. But, like, yeah, dude, that was, like, my favorite part. I'm like, oh, dude, he's just opening up the pit. He's about to just, you know, about a two-step or something. He's about to do something in this pit. But, yeah, that was The Role of Jenny Pin and what we thought of it. It's a must-watch, I think. You have to, you know, check this movie out, man. Don't eat it with popcorn because there is some pretty, like, cool stuff in it. But
we still don't know what's in that, like, panty tooth bomb thing. I have no idea what that – it looked like some duct tape or something. I'm not sure what that was.
Yeah.
But it was wet.
But, yeah, must-watch. Check it out. It's, again, available on AMC Plus, Shudder. You know, and if you have those, if you're going to rent it, it's on Prime Video. And Fandango at Home. But yeah, that was our episode on The Rule of Jenny Pin. Thank you so much for listening. We hope y'all had a great week. Have a great weekend.
Have a good Easter.
Yeah, have a good Easter for those celebrating Easter.
Ostara, whatever you celebrate, enjoy it. Go spend some time with your families.
Yeah, have some fun. Barbecue, get fat.
Oh, and on a side note on that, I got to chime in on this.
Oh, yeah.
So,
a little honorable mention.
Honorable mention. It's a great... It's a kooky independent film, big time, but Beasterday, it's on Tubi. It's filmed in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's kooky. It's quirky. It's you know,
horrible CGI.
It's horrible CGI monster.
Acting, writing.
If you're like particular people that I know and you're more about full frontal nudity and stuff, it's got nudity. It's got everything you need.
Yeah.
So
killer Easter Bunny.
Easter Bunny. Yeah. Basically, it's not technically the Easter Bunny. The hippie mayor just like coins it because he wants, you know, sell his soft tools. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of, you know, I was conferring with Dame earlier this week and I'm like, hey, man, you know, throw something out there. Easter's coming. You've seen any Easter movies? Because I, you know, I'm relatively naive to that genre of Easter bunny horror movies.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have anything to really speak on this week. And so Damon, you know, he was with his fam and he, you know, threw out the suggestion. Oh, Beaster Day. I think it's the Beaster Day, the tale of Peter.
Cottontail? Or
it's not Cottontail.
Rottentail?
No. Peter Rottentail is a completely different movie. It's something.
It's
on there, but it's god awful horrible.
Yeah, you watched the whole thing, and I was like, no, let's do Rule of Jenny Pin.
Yeah, let's do Rule of Jenny Pin. But, you know, I was already committed. I was already, you know, this movie's like an hour and 30 minutes long. I was already like 56 minutes in. I'm like, nah, there's no turning back once you go that far. So if you get a chance and you want to watch just something like absolutely ridiculous and just total brain rot, hey, go for it. Beaster Day, it's great, you know, so...
Yeah, check that. A little honorable mention.
Be listening. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for listening. Please follow us on Instagram. Link will be in the description of this episode. And, yeah, we will see you
next week.